Pastor Mark has been teaching on a series called Faith Foundations, right? And so I thought I'd just go right along with that. So I'm going to be teaching something that I've found to be one of the most important foundational teachings in the Word of God. So I'm going to be talking about living by the Spirit. I'm talking about who you are in your spirit. I'm not talking about who you are in your flesh. I'm not talking about who you are when you make a mistake. I'm talking about that part of you that when you got born again was created perfectly, just like the Spirit of Jesus. Amen? All right. So I'm going to talk about a little experience I had when I was 15 years old. I got born again at an early age. I was 15. And I had an amazing encounter with the Father. It was a great experience. I felt God's tangible love. And it changed my life. But you know what? I had no idea what took place. I didn't know who I was in my spirit. And that caused me a lot of pain. That caused me a lot of harm. Nobody told me that as Jesus is, so am I in this life. Nobody told me that in my spirit, I'm just like Jesus. So I had a passion and zeal for God, but I had no tools to go out there and do it. I had no tools out there to go out there and live for God. So I had a hard time at an early age. So it wasn't until I was like 27 that I learned my true identity. I had been born again all these years, but I've been suffering, trying to live for God, trying to be holy. But I didn't have the right tools. But that revelation came. I was in the military. I was sitting on the back of a 5-ton. And my brother-in-law shared a word with me. He said, I just want you to know that God loves you and that His grace is on your life. And there's a great call on you. And you know what? My ears perked up. I was like, I never heard that before. And I started hanging out with this guy. And he started showing me a lot of teachings about grace and about who I was in Christ. I started listening to this man by the name of Andrew Womack. I think you've heard of him. Yeah, he's got a really monotone voice. He can put you to sleep, but it's powerful what he says, right? He set me free. And you know what? Since that time, the moment that I learned who I was in my spirit, I started walking in victory. I started making mistakes, and those mistakes didn't keep me down. Actually, those mistakes propelled me further because I knew who I was in Christ. It was like bouncing on a trampoline. You fall down, but you get right back up. Amen? That's what was happening to me. I learned that God loved me in spite of my sin. I learned that God loved me in spite of my mistakes, and that I could really just go out there and mess it up, and God still loved me. And when I started learning that, it started giving me power to overcome sin. It started giving me power to overcome my mistakes. I no longer wanted to go out there and live like that because I knew my identity. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. When you know that, does that make you want to go out there and live in sin? No. It makes you want to go out there and live for Him and tell other people about Him. And what happens is, because you know about His grace, you start living more holy by accident than you ever thought about on purpose. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you awake this morning? Amen. Okay. So I'm going to lay a little foundation. And it's just going back to the fall of man. Okay? Adam was the beginning of the fall of man. And through him, sin was passed down to every single human being. So I'm going to read from Romans 5:12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all had sinned. Sin was passed down from Adam. When you were born into this life, when you was born into this world, you didn't become a sinner because you sinned. We were born into this world as a sinner, right? We had a fallen nature. We had a fallen spirit. That's just the truth of the matter. Yes, as a result of that sin nature, we sinned. But we were born sinners. We're not a sinner because we sinned. We're a sinner because we're born We were born with sin already in us. Amen? Right. And that's true. That's important that you know that. Okay? Paul said in Romans chapter 7, as he was describing the sin nature that lives in us, that the good that he wanted to do, he could not do. He always ended up doing things that were bad. In 7:20, it says this, now if I do what I will not to do, he's saying, if I do what I don't want to do, he speaks very confusingly in a way. It is no longer I who does it, but sin that dwells in me. Does that make sense? When we were sinners, okay, I'm asking you to think about that time when you were a sinner. You're not a sinner now, but before Christ, you were a sinner. So I'm asking you, when you sinned, you didn't want to sin, right? You didn't want to sin, but you ended up sinning, and you didn't know why. It's because that sin was in you, that it was present within you. And that's why we needed a Savior. Yeah. It's because we had that fallen spirit that could not do good. Even though we wanted to do good, we couldn't, because we had that fallen nature. Yeah. Okay? That's where I wanted to lay. Okay? We all sin because sin was already there the moment we were born into this earth. So prior to being born again, we had that fallen nature. But here's the catch in Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay where we were, where we were in sin and had that fallen nature. No, because of the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, we can reign in life. Come on. What I love about that free gift is it's free. Yeah. Right? You don't pay for something that's free. Yeah. You don't work for something that's free. Right. You just receive it if it's free. And I've never rejected a free gift to this day. When somebody buys me a present, I open it up right away. Right? Same thing with God. When He gives me something, when He gives me this free gift of righteousness, who am I to say no to that? No, I want that. I don't want to earn it anymore, because I found out that I can't. I think we all found that out. Right? We can't earn that. So we got to live based on who we are in our spirit. That moment we believed on Jesus, we got a brand new spirit. Amen? All right, we're going to start there this morning. All right. So every single day that you wake up, you have to make a choice. And this is true. You are going to live by who you are in your spirit. You got to make that choice. We all do. We forget it sometimes. We get busy. We forget that our spirit is perfect. It's holy. It's just like the Spirit of Christ. We forget sometimes because we just get so busy in life. But you got to remind yourself. That's why the gospel is so important. You got to immerse yourself in the gospel. You don't hear the gospel one time and you're good. You renew your mind with the gospel. You need to hear it over and over and over again. Let it wash you so that you'll never forget that you're loved, you're holy, and you're complete in Him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to read something. This is an important foundation for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is critical for you to know in your daily walk with God. You are made up of three parts. Man, before I knew this, I was hurting, okay? I'm made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. My spirit is the part of me that's been born again. It's the part of me that's just like Jesus. That's why sometimes when you go look in the mirror, you don't look like Jesus. Or sometimes you don't feel like Jesus, right? Sometimes our emotions are up and down. Because you're looking at yourself based on who you are in the flesh versus who you are in the spirit. In your spirit, you're holy. In your spirit, you're righteous. It's just like the Spirit of Christ. You got to know that. Now, what is your soul? Your soul is your emotions. It's your personality. It's that fallen nature in a way. You have a new nature in your spirit, but that soul is still fallen, because how many of you know our feelings are up and down sometimes? Even if you're born again, sometimes you can get upset when you shouldn't be getting upset.
That's right.
If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Hey, let me just give you those. I like life examples. You like life examples? Okay, I'm not too good to talk about my marriage. I'm going to talk about my marriage. Okay, when we first got married, it was tough. Okay, we love each other. We had a great first year marriage, but it was still tough because we're learning how each other are. But there was one time we got in a fight, and I don't even remember what it's about. But you know what I'm talking about. You start fighting about something, but you've been fighting for so long because nobody wants to say, I'm sorry, you forgot what you was fighting about. Okay? That happened to us. We were fighting for like 2 weeks one time, and it hit me. I don't even know what I'm fighting for. And my wife is good about being the first one to say, I'm sorry. But this time, she wasn't saying, I'm sorry. So I said, this time, it's going to be me. Okay? This time, I'm going to say I'm sorry. She was gone to work or something. So I said, okay, I'm going to write a letter. And all it said was, I'm sorry and I love you. And I put that on a table, and I bought some roses or some flowers and put it beside that note. And I didn't tell her about it. I just let her walk in the house. She went in my room, and it was on that table. She started bawling the moment she saw that. She started saying, I'm sorry, it was me. Amen. That's all we got to do. Just say, I'm sorry, buy some roses, and hey, you win the argument. Amen. Okay. It was good. Praise the Lord. But that was a special moment to me, because I don't say I'm sorry a lot. She says I'm sorry. When I say I'm sorry, I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, or I say it in passing. I don't really mean it sometimes, because I don't feel it at that moment when I say it. But she always says I'm sorry. But for me, that was a mile marker. I said, I'm sorry, you know, and it was great. Amen. So anyways, we were born again at that point, but I had a fallen nature. Our feelings were up and down sometimes. And you got to realize that you can't trust your feelings. You got to trust the Word of God and what it says about you. You got to trust in who you are in your spirit. Praise the Lord. And that's what saved our marriage. I guarantee it, because we had a foundation of who we are in Christ. We were able to wake up that next morning saying, I love you. And I was able to relate to her based on who she is in her spirit, and she could with me as well. We could give grace to each other, right? Amen. All right, our flesh. What is our flesh? It's the part you see. And it's also made up of our five senses, the way you see, hear, taste, smell, and feel. That's your body. And it's still fallen. There's coming a day where we'll get a new body. But at this time, you're still in that old body. But don't check out too soon, okay? You have a plan. You have a purpose. But my whole point of telling you all of this was so that you know you're made up of three parts, and you have to relate to who you are in your spirit, not based on who you are in your soul and your flesh. That's very important. Amen? That is a foundation that will take you through this life. Amen? It's solid. Amen? So living from the Spirit means that you are no longer relating to your failures or past mistakes. Let's take a look at this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Everybody knows it, but I like seeing it again and again and again. Amen? More revelation keeps coming. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are brand new inside. We are somebody that never existed before. We have a brand new spirit. I'm saying to you that you are a brand new species that never existed before. You're righteous. You're holy. You're complete. You got a brand new identity. Amen. In Christ, that's who you are. So what I'm telling you is you can't relate to you based on who you are in the flesh. And you can't relate to yourself based on your mistakes, because you're still going to make mistakes. Until the day you die in this life, we're going to make mistakes. I say things I shouldn't do all the time. I know who I am in Christ, but I still say things I shouldn't say. I'm just giving you a point. We're going to make mistakes. But you can't relate to yourself in that mistake. The way you overcome mistakes is by relating to who you are in the Spirit. Every single time, I promise you, you do this, you overcome. It's like you bounce back. That's how you overcome sin. Not by focusing on that sin and focusing on, okay, I got to stop sinning. I got to quit struggling with this. It's really holding me down. That's just digging the hole deeper. You know, that's really what's happening. What you got to do is to stop. No. In Christ, I'm righteous. In Christ, I'm holy. In Christ, I'm more than a conqueror. You build yourself up in the Word. Before you know it, you're already out of the hole. You're a mile down the road doing something for God. That's what happens. Amen? So living from the Spirit also means that you are no longer relating to other people based on their failures and past mistakes. This one takes practice, like in our marriage. I have to relate with my wife based on who she is in the Spirit. And vice versa, I'm not picking on her. Her also with me. She has to relate with me based on who I am in my spirit, because I promise you, I'm not the perfect husband. I do things wrong, right? Yeah, and they're like, really? I can't believe that. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him no longer. We know no man after the flesh. That means when you see your brother and sister in Christ making a mistake, don't relate to them based on that mistake. Don't relate to them based on where they are at that moment. You pick them up. You encourage them by telling them who they are in Christ, just like you do with yourself. You do it the same way you do it to yourself. Because I know how to encourage myself, I know how to encourage somebody else. Say, brother, I don't care what you did. I don't care about that thing that you did. All I know is that Christ paid for it and you're righteous. Amen? Get mad about it. You can say it with love, but get mad about it. Amen. God is good. Amen? Praise the Lord. What you set your mind to will determine how you live. I'm giving a lot of scripture, but I'm trying to go through it quickly. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds to the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, right here, set their minds to the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I prefer to have life and peace. I hope you do too. Amen. Living by the flesh, it's death. But setting your mind to the things of the Spirit is life and peace. Amen. So my point, what you set your mind to will determine how you live. If you see yourself as a sinner, what do you think you're going to do? Sin. It's really that simple. If you see yourself as a sinner, without that righteous spirit that lives inside of you, that's exactly how you're going to live. But if you see yourself the way that God sees you, if you see yourself as victorious, if you see yourself as more than a conqueror, you're going to conquer. You're going to walk through this life and nothing's going to slow you down. Even when you mess up, it's just like a little pebble, like a bump in the road. You just go through it flying because you know who you are in Christ. Amen? That's the truth. That's what you start to realize when you start coming into the grace of God and how good He is and how much He loves you in spite of your sin. You see yourself making a mistake, but you know so much how much you're forgiven that it doesn't slow you down. You just keep going. We don't have time to stop and pout about what we did wrong. What we got to do is take this glorious message and find the urgency to get out there with it and tell people how good they are in Christ. Encourage them and bring them along with us, because this is just a speck in time, right? This is just a speck in time. We are here to enjoy life to love people. We're not here to suffer through it. We can enjoy life now. What I'm saying is we don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience heaven. We can experience heaven right now. But there's an urgency. Don't forget the urgency. There is an urgency. That's important. I forgot that when I first came into grace. I forgot about the urgency of the people that are out there that don't know this message. Let the message inspire you to go out there and minister to others. Because I tell you what, you are ministers of the gospel.
Yes.
Right. Every single one of you are ministers of the gospel.
Yes.
Because you've heard it and you received it. That's the only qualification you need. You don't need to be a good speaker. Trust me, I'm not the best speaker. I used to be afraid to get in front of people. Okay, but the message inspired me. The gospel inspired me to not look at myself, but to look at people and love people. Okay, that's what we have to do. Inspire people to go out there and make change. And I believe every one of you are doing that. That's something special about this church. People don't come just to sit in the pews and just go back home. No, they come to get fed and they want to go feed others. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are special people. Amen. So how do you find out who you are in the Spirit? How do you find that out? You go to the Word of God. You don't go any other place. You go to the Word of God. Amen. In James chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his face in a mirror." This verse is likening the Word of God to a mirror. When you go to the Word of God, it's a mirror. It's telling you who you are in Christ. I'm holding my tablet up, but there's a word. Okay? The Word is telling you who you are. So when you feel ashamed, go to the Word of God and you hold it up and you look in that mirror and you see who you are. The Word says that He has removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. How you encourage yourself in the Word. That's what it's saying about you. Stop believing the lie about you and start embracing the truth about you. And the truth is that you're righteous, you're holy, you're complete in Him, and there's not one speck of sin on your life. When God sees you, He sees Jesus. That's the truth. He loves you. He chose to look at you that way. He didn't have to. He wanted to look at you that way. He loves us that much. He never wanted us to experience shame. Not one time. That's what happened in the garden. I'll go ahead and share about it. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve fell, the first thing they felt was shame. But we know that prior, before that fall, it says they were naked and unashamed. But right after they ate of that fruit, they were ashamed. And they started sowing fig leaves to cover themselves. Right? And then God was coming in the cool of the day to walk with them and talk with them, have a relationship with them. How sweet of a moment that is when God just wants to come down and walk and talk with you and spend time with you. Amen? That's good. And here they are. God hasn't even got on to them. He hasn't even scolded them. Not one time did God say anything to them. They're hiding from His presence because they feel shame and they feel guilty and they feel like nobody, like a nobody. God never wanted man to feel that. That's why He said, "Don't eat of that tree." He never wanted us to walk through life with shame. Not one time. But they felt shame and they hid themselves. And that happens with us today. If you don't have knowledge of who you are in your spirit, you feel shame. You feel guilty. And God doesn't want you to feel that because He's redeemed you of it. That's why Jesus came here. It's to redeem us from shame. To redeem us from guilt. To redeem us from these things that are tearing us, our lives apart. He wants us to enjoy this life because He cares about every minute that we go through. He doesn't care just about us getting to eternity. He cares about us right now. And He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to have a smile on our face. You remember what Mark did the other day? Every one of you had a goofy smile on your face. I'm not going to do it. Okay, that was awesome. It was awesome. But that's what God wants. He wants us smiling. He wants us rejoicing. He wants us happy in Him. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing me this morning? Praise the Lord. Have a simple mindset that you are just simply going to believe what God's word says. Okay? That is important. Don't go to God's word and reason, well, that just doesn't make sense. I go to the word of God like a child now. Okay? Because sometimes when I read the word trying to understand it, I found out I wasn't smart enough. Okay? I needed God to reveal it to me. And so I came to his word like a child. I said, God, I don't understand your word, but reveal your word to me. That's what I said. And I choose to just simply believe what your word says. Amen. Man, that's powerful. Go to God's word with a simple mentality. Yeah. If it's in the word, I believe it. If it's not in the word, I don't believe it. Amen? Amen. That's important. Because there's a lot of theories out there. There's a lot of theories in the body of Christ moving around. Don't get taken away by those theories. Don't get taken away by these doctrines of man. I'm not against denominations. I love denominations. But sometimes people's denominations and their doctrines are not even in the Word. Rules and traditions of men make the Word of God of no effect. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Are you happy to be set free from rules and traditions of man? I am. I'm happy. I'm joyful. I'm pumped up about it. Amen. Thank God that I don't have to impress him. He's happy with me right now. And he's looking at me and he's smiling. And I can smile at him back. Amen. Woo. Say, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I am worthy. God is pleased with me. Because of Jesus. Amen. Whew. We can close it right there. Okay? All right. We worship God in spirit and in truth. Let's go to John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in what? In truth. We worship God based on who we are in our spirit. You don't worship God with your flesh. Some people say flesh and fake. When you're trying to fake it and you're trying to let everybody know that you love God by your worship, you can't worship God that way. You have to worship God with the revelation of who you are in your spirit. Amen? And the revelation of what Christ has done for you. You know what gets me a lot of times? And I say this in love, but it's the passion in me coming out, okay? When people say, God demands worship. God wants worship. They're making God sound like a 2-year-old. Worship me, worship me. God's not that way. God does want worship. But there's a way he gets true worship. It's when we respond to his goodness. It's when people see how good he is, they can't help but worship him. If you want to exalt God, you start telling people how loved and how good and how great they are in Christ. And all of a sudden, you'll get people worshiping. People that say God demands worship are having the opposite effect on people. The moment you start making something a command, like do this, do this, do this, people are not going to truly worship him. They're only worshiping him because you said so, and they're trying to make face with everybody. And look, God, I love you. And they're just not even meaning it from their heart. But when you see how good God is, man, you're like Jeff on the front row during worship. I can't help. He can't sit still. You can tie him to that chair, and he'd still get up. Okay? That's the truth. Man, if you want people to worship, exalt the name of Jesus in their life and they'll worship. Amen? Did I go too far? Okay, I'm going to make sure I didn't cross a line there. We all have our pet peeves, right? That's my pet peeve. All right, so we don't demand worship. We show people who they are in Christ, and they can't help but worship God. Amen. Living from your spirit means that you aren't subject to the old covenant. This is important.
Yes, it is.
This is.
Yes, it is.
This is very important. First of all, unless you were born a Jew, you were never once under the law. But somehow the law has creeped in our churches and to people that have never been Jews and have been told to live by the law. You don't have to live by the law. It's good not to murder people. It's good. It's good to honor your father and your mother. Those are good things. But even if you didn't honor your father and mother, even if you, I don't want to say that. Even if you do something terrible, the blood of Jesus has covered it. That's the truth. So the law doesn't apply to you, right? You're under a new covenant, a better covenant, a covenant that you can't mess up, a covenant that's not based on your actions and failures and mistakes. You are in a covenant based on Jesus and what He did for you. He lived the life that you couldn't. And we received it by faith. And we embraced it. And now God sees me as someone that has lived a perfect life. Amen? And what does that do to me? Does that make me go out there and live like the devil? No, that makes me charge hell with a water pistol. Amen? That makes me go out there and want to save more people. That encourages me to build people up in Christ because now I'm enjoying it. Under the law, I didn't enjoy speaking the word to people because all they looked like were like they were being condemned.
Yeah.
You look at people, you teach them the law. If they look condemned, you didn't do one thing. You were doing something to them that they've already experienced. They need to experience the grace of God, the truth of God, and they will be motivated to serve Him. They will be motivated by His goodness. Amen?
Yeah. Woo!
All right, back to the law. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are spirit-led, if you are spirit-led, then you are not under the law. Jacob didn't say that. The Word said that. We are not under the law. Even us, it has been revealed to, even though we know it, you need to hear it again. Hear it again, because I promise you, the moment you get out of the Word of God, the world system starts influencing your mind. You start forgetting the powerful truths of God. You start forgetting about being set free from the law, right? You do. It happens. Just this year, I let that happen to me. Just this year, I let shame and guilt come back in because I got so busy. You know what? Working full-time at a ministry doesn't mean you're just reading your Bible all the time. You know, I get busy here sometimes, and I forget to read my Word. I forget there's a necessity for me to be washed by the gospel. And this year, I started feeling a lot of shame and condemnation, and I started making mistakes. I started slipping because I wasn't letting the Word do its work in me. You don't get to a place where you arrived, okay? And you just sit still. The enemy still wants to attack. Yes, we give him too much credit. But when you get idle, that's when he really comes at you. If you're out there being active, sowing the Word in your heart, there's nothing he can do to you. Amen? There's nothing he can do to you. But I want to read something. I had to write down a declaration for myself because I let it get so bad. And it had slowed me down. And this is what I said. Today, I declare that I will never again allow myself to feel condemned, guilty, or ashamed for my sin. Jesus has cleansed me of all of my past, present, and future sin. Amen. I am now righteous as He is righteous. Even when I mess up, I will look at myself as a spotless child of God. That simple declaration boosted me back into right standing with God, where I'm not condemning myself anymore. And I feel in the Spirit, there's some of you here today that have been feeling that. You've been feeling condemned. You've been in church your whole life, but you let condemnation come in and guilt and shame come in. You got to get back into the Word and look at who you are in the Spirit, not in a legalistic way, but in a way that benefits you, your life, your marriage, your relationships. The reason you go to the Word is because it helps you. Amen? Amen. Whew. When you are completely aware of your new nature, your prayer life changes. This is true. You begin shifting from confessing sin to confessing your righteousness in Christ. You know what? We get hung up on some things. You know, it talks about in the Word of God that if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive your sin. That was just to give you assurance that if you call on His name, you're saved. It wasn't to make you to have this religious thing you do over and over and over again in order to get back saved and to keep you saved. That it was never meant that way, okay? You can easily read that with the wrong heart and motive, right? But it was to give you assurance. But now that I know who I am in Christ, I know what prayer is. It's just communion with God. I don't have to have my eyes closed. I don't have to have my head bowed. He's right here in my spirit. And I just talk to Him. Hey, God, how's your day going? Amen. I used to be so religious. I had to be by my bedside. I have to be on my knees. I have to assume the position. That is not the way to go. Okay? That's a boring prayer life. There's a better prayer life. It's great to go into your quiet time. It's great to have those intimate moments where you are just you and God. And maybe you're laying on the floor and praising Him. That is great. But I'm so thankful that I've been set free, that I can just talk with God like He's standing here right now. Amen? Because He's with me. Because He said that He will never leave me nor forsake me. Anywhere I go, He goes. And the same is true about you. I'm thankful for the revelation that I don't have to beg for the Holy Spirit to come down. He's with me everywhere I go. And the same is with you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Woo, this is what true victory is. This is where enjoying your life is. It's walking the supernatural truth of God. Amen? He is with you. Woo. Man. Okay. I crossed the line there. Woo. You skip the religious rituals that you were once bound by, and you go directly to Jesus. Amen? If I want to spend time with Jesus, it's just as quick as me realizing it. Jesus, I want to spend time with you. Me and you want to walk and talk. Amen? Amen. I don't have to live holy and prepare. He's ready to spend any moment I'm willing to give Him. Amen? That's how much He wants to spend time with us. Amen? John 8:36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. I like how He put indeed in the Word. Yes, you shall be free indeed. Like you need to hear this. If He sets you free, you're free. Don't let bondage come back. Don't let those chains of religion hold you down. You just believe that the Son has set you free and you live free. And you honor Him any way you want to. Now you get to truly worship God. You get to choose how you honor Him. If you want to choose to honor God by having long hair and wearing skirts, that's great. I'm happy for you. Honor God that way. But don't make it a rule and a tradition of men that causes the Word of God to be of no effect. Amen? We cannot push our faith on people, even grace people. We can't do that. We can't push our agenda, okay? When now that Jesus has set us free, we get to choose how we honor Him. We get to choose how much we fast. We get to choose what needs to come out of my life so that I can have a greater walk and experience with God. I love that. That the Lord has given me the ability to choose what's hindering my life so that I can have a greater and closer walk with Him, because it's different for everybody else. It is. One thing that's bothering somebody could not be bothering somebody else. That's true. So you have to choose what that thing is. Okay? Mine can be my cell phone. Okay? I can have that in my hand all day long. But I got to let that go. Sometimes I got to make that time with God. I got to have that special moment with Him. And I'm saying this because I've been struggling with this. I haven't been having my intimate times with God that really heals me, that really washes me. It's important, not in a legalistic way, for us to have those moments with God. Whatever it is that's hindering us, because you have a great destiny. You have a great calling in this life. Don't let that one little thing hinder it. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Don't let that one little thing hinder that. You know what? Sometimes you got to just say, no, I'm putting it down. Whatever it is. And I'm going to enjoy this moment with God. I'm going to give you 30 minutes of my heart and my attention. And God will multiply that 30 minutes.
Yes,
He will. It's like if you don't give Him those 30 minutes, you do half as much as you would have done. But if you gave Him those 30 minutes, you get it done in less amount of time. It's like whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're working towards, when you spend that time with God, wow, He multiplies your time. He gives you wisdom how to get it done quicker and faster and with less energy. Amen?
Amen.
That's the rabbit trail. All right. But I am saying that a believer doesn't have to confess individual acts of sin. That's what I'm telling you about praying. Yes, it's good. If you feel so guilty and pinned up with shame and you get a release from it, that's okay. And sometimes I do that. I ask God, forgive me. But the truth of the matter is I'm already forgiven.
That's right.
He's already forgiven me. So why am I reminding God of what I did when He has removed it from His memory? He has. The moment you start telling God about your problem, He starts telling you about Jesus. That's the truth. He starts telling you who you are in your spirit. Am I talking to anybody?
Yeah.
That's the truth, right?
Yeah.
I remember when I first came to Grace, it was so hard to change my prayer life because I was so sin conscious that I always had to tell God about what I did wrong. But I felt the Spirit telling me, you're still my child. I still love you. That thing that you did doesn't define you. Jesus defines you. Amen? That's where our prayer life can elevate to. It's a better way of praying. It's not the only way. It's a better way of praying. Praise the Lord. Oh, wow. You come away from that prayer feeling good and energized.
Amen.
The same Spirit. I'm doing pretty good on time. The same Spirit that is in Christ lives in us. In Acts 2:12 it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. You know that word pour out? It's a gushing. It's a never-ending flow. God's Spirit is constantly flowing down to us. The moment we receive Christ, that new Spirit came in, and there's a constant flow from the Spirit into our life to affect other people. It's amazing.
That's right.
It is. I was a child. I had visions. I did. I laid on my bed at night, and I would have visions. And I was this child that, you know, I was good with people. I loved people, but I had a tremendous fear of getting in front of people. But God was showing me that I would be standing before people and ministering the gospel. And at the time, I didn't understand it. I had a fear. I had a stutter. I was ashamed of my voice. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't. I was condemned. People didn't know this because I could hide it very well. Okay? But That was what I felt. I was fearful. But God showed me this then. So this verse is alive to me now. He showed it to me then so I would be ready for it when the time was right. And the same is with you. God has been showing you visions. He's been showing you dreams. He's been showing you what you've been called to do. He's getting you ready for it. Some of you are primed and ready. Just pull the trigger, okay? Go on it. Move on it. It's time to step into your calling. You know, for so long we've been hearing this place is a hub. People are coming in from all over. And I see it. I see so many gifted people ready for the work of the ministry. Man, we got some great people here. We could have 10,000 churches already. But I'm so thankful for the time to spend with you guys. Because I feel like we're building each other up. We're prepping each other for the work of the ministry. I feel like this time is really a growing time for us all. We have all been growing. I've been seeing you grow. You've been seeing me grow. I've been seeing everybody grow. We all started somewhere, but we are getting primed and ready for something great. Every one of us, amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm getting to the end of my message. But let's take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Amen?
Amen.
So health is in your spirit too. Everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness is right here, living on the inside of you. You know, I just got over, I think, the worst cold of my life. It lasted 2 weeks. Normally, cold would be gone in like 5 days. But anyway, it lasted 2 weeks, and I had a chronic cough. It's not I can deal with the cold. I just hate coughing. But I had a bad cough, and it wouldn't go away. My wife can tell you, I had to sleep in the other room. I did. I was waking her up and the baby. We already don't get enough sleep, okay? And so I'm coughing. I'm having this chronic cough, and I'm suffering through this for 3 days before I realize that in my spirit is everything that I need. And I started speaking the word over myself, and I started getting better. I started speaking the word over myself, and I started relating to who I am in my spirit, that in my spirit, I am healthy. In my spirit, I am whole. My spirit doesn't have a cold. Amen? I started renewing my mind to that, and I started getting better. And I still have a little itchy throat, but it's on its way out. Amen? You know, sometimes you got to learn in these small situations, like a cold, whatever it may be, a headache. You got to practice this in the small things. So when something bigger comes, I'm not going to let this slow me down. I don't care what cancer is. Cancer is nothing more than a cold in my view. I'm going to come out of this. Amen. Don't let the doctor's report scare you. There's a greater and better truth than what they can give you. I love doctors. I think we should get healed any way that we can. But don't accept the bad report. Accept the good report. Amen. Praise the Lord. So health is in your spirit. And I'm going to close with this verse. 1 John 4:17, it says, "As He is, so are we in this life." You know, at the beginning of that verse, it talks about we may have boldness in the day of judgment. How many of you have ever been afraid of the day of judgment? Can I see a show of hands? Nobody? I used to be afraid. I used to be. I'm saying I used to be because I was in religion. They said everybody is going to have to stand before God in the day of judgment. And I was scared because I did some stuff, okay? I did some stuff. And so I was afraid, but then the revelation of what took place in my spirit and the revelation that Jesus was judged so that I would not be judged, amen? So now when I get to heaven, I'm just going to be so thankful and I'm going to see Jesus and God face to face. And all I'm going to be saying is thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm not going to be trembling. I'm going to have boldness in the day of judgment. Thank you, Jesus. I'm righteous. I'm holy like you. Woo. Praise the Lord.